Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do I mean when I say peace to you? The subject of peace in the world has been a topic of much controversy over the last century, especially as of recent years this has been true. Our country faces a unique struggle in the effort to establish peace in the world. A unique struggle because our country faces an enemy who uses tactics that we haven't really seen before. We're facing a terrorism that does not show its face, that plays by different rules of war, and that preys on innocent lives. So we're faced with this question of how do we achieve peace when we face an enemy that's unwilling to submit to our rule of order. This is where we find President Obama in the midst of accepting a Nobel Peace Prize, ironically having sent 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan. How do these two facts fit together? How do the leaders of this world deal with enemies who won't negotiate in peace talks and won't agree on any treaties? This is where the kings of this world have to change from diplomacy to force. This is how they achieve peace in such situations. They have to force their enemy into submission to their rule, and weapons are used to dictate who has the authority. Yet for your king, for your true king, for your king with a capital K, peace comes in a different way. So as we focus our thoughts on the upcoming celebration of Palm Sunday, where Jesus, your king, rides triumphant and lowly into Jerusalem, may the Spirit bless our chapel as we see that our King brings peace in a peculiar and a precious fashion. Our text is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The peace which your king has accomplished comes in a precious fashion. It's unlike any peace that any other king has ever brought his people. Because Jesus accomplished a peace that didn't come by sheer force. God has cut off the battle bow, we read. The righteous king that now brings victory rules not by force, but by grace and love. So if we turn back in Zechariah to an earlier chapter here, we read of this, where it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, accomplishes the work of his kingdom not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. And how does he exercise the work of his spirit? Well, verse 10 says he speaks peace to the nations. That's the gospel. That's how his spirit comes to us. It's God's ruling activity through the gospel where your king speaks peace to you. A special peace unlike any other, peace with God. And how did this peace come about? Well, Jesus had to conquer what stood between you and God. He had to conquer sin, and not just in general, and not just sin before you came to faith, he had to conquer sin that we still see on a day-to-day basis. He had to pay for sins that you committed yesterday or today. Sins that we continue to struggle with. Sins that are only known between you and God. You may receive marks in the dorm from time to time, but the number of marks that would be on God's board would be innumerable if it weren't for Jesus. Yes, there was a battle, and the enemy was defeated, but not by force, actually by submission. By Jesus submitting to what every one of us deserves. To Jesus submitting to the wrath of God in your place. He defeated what stood between you and God by shedding his precious blood and suffering death for you and rising victorious from the dead. That's the peace that your King speaks to you, that your sins are forgiven. A peace unlike any other. Peace from all the sins you've ever committed so that nothing stands between you and God. That there's only perfect peace and harmony. And you've received this message of peace. He speaks peace to the nation, verse 10 says. This is how your King rules. By declaring peace to you in his word, in the Bible, in the gospel. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There was no force. It was by the power of the precious gospel message. From Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. When the leaders of this world face an enemy who is unwilling to submit to their rule, this is where diplomacy turns into force and threats and violence. Submission and peace are obtained by forcing the enemy to come under their rule. And God, too, was facing an enemy that was unwilling to submit to his rule. Every one of us in our sinful state before we came to faith in Christ, unwilling to do what God asked. But notice the difference. For God, this was not the point where diplomacy turned into force and threats and law and violence. He brought you a salvation unlike any other through his undeserved love. He brought you a diplomacy so that surpasses anything man could ever come up with. A diplomacy that he was so loving and that he sacrificed his only son for you. He brought you a peace treaty that changed your status, that changed your heart, that changed everything for you. And in this, you've been released from the bondage of sin to the peace of freedom in God's kingdom. Freedom in his kingdom so that you can serve him. Not by force, not by demands, but by the freedom that the gospel brings to us. Freedom from sin, from death, from demands, from threats. On this basis, then, let us lay our palm branches of our hearts before our King, out of thankfulness for what he's done. May we ever serve only him who is our King, who brings us this peace in a most peculiar and precious fashion. Amen. We'll close then with singing a Palm Sunday hymn 725, stanza 4.